Paul McCartney wrote that song in the mid-60s. And I think the song has really held up pretty well. And probably it's even more poignant today than it was back then. And there are two characters in this story. There's an elderly woman who works at a church as kind of a cleaning lady. One day she picks up rice where the wedding took place. She probably has done this job a number of times, and she never gets to be the bride. She never gets to be the bridesmaid. She doesn't even get invited to the wedding to be a guest. She's just an old woman who makes a simple living and goes through life pretty much alone. The other character is a priest who is also very alone. He writes sermons that no one will hear. Just making sure you're listening. Yeah. Apparently he has a small congregation, or maybe it also means no one cared for him or his message even when they did come. I don't know, but one day Eleanor Rigby dies and Father McKenzie does her funeral, but nobody comes. Another message delivered with no one to hear. All the lonely people, where do they all come from? Where do they all belong? This is our third week of our sermon series, The Gospel According to John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Each week we start our sermon series with a popular Beatles song, and then we talk about how it compare it to what the Bible says about that same topic. Now, there are a number of reasons why people are lonely in today's world. Actually, I think the state of disconnection is actually probably more common than not, it seems like these days. We are so self-absorbed with our technology and our endless activities that we really never get to know anyone or be known by anyone. So we compensate for this longing. We don't want to feel things, so we stay busy, and we feed off spending addictions, and we try to keep control of things. But there's that longing that when we stop doesn't go away. Like I said, this is something we all face it some way or another, and so there's technology that keeps us distracted from doing life and opening up to people. We live in an age of mobility where people move every 5 or 6 years. So it's hard to really connect when you're always on the go. We're in an age of individualism where not only do we move away from each other, we can move away from extended family. So we don't have that support around us either. Is it so wonder we're so lonely? I don't really know if we're busier than we were as a society maybe 30 years ago, but I think we feel more overwhelmed than they did. Maybe it's because we don't have that sense of support, sense of community around us. Friends, that's one reason why the church is so important. It's why we have things like support groups and small groups where you can be known and get to know others. And this is true for all people. It doesn't matter what category you're in, young or old, single, married, male, female. We think married people don't have as much problem with that. Well, married people often tend to rely too much on their spouse to fill all their relationship needs, and that's not healthy for a marriage. Certainly they need to concentrate on that relationship, but it can't be everything. Men tend to be really guilty of putting other things before relationships. So, and did you know that many of us actually choose to be lonely to some degree? Strange as it sounds, we choose to hide from people and from life. It's lonely, but it's easier. Because being in relationships take time, and you have to have the courage to kind of get real with people and open up your heart to them. Proverbs 18:1 basically says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he breaks out against all sound judgment. See, we all have this inborn desire from God to be known, really known, and to know others, to at least have a few people in our life. But it takes risk, doesn't it? Because deep down, we are afraid that if we let ourselves be real, we let ourselves be truly authentic, that people will be turned off by what is underneath maybe the mask that we wear. We don't maybe even come to church because of that. We We can hide not only from people, but we hide from God. Because deep down, we wonder if God accepts us for who we are underneath that mask. But here's the good news. The Bible says just the opposite. Just the opposite. The Bible tells us that God tells us that we were, while he was yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. Not once we got our act cleaned up. Not once when we got kind of on top of our game, where we'd be a little bit more acceptable. He died for us while we were at our worst. Think about that. Think about your lowest point in life. Think about when you were not who you should be, most ashamed of who you were. That is when Christ died for you. He accepted you even at that moment and paid the price for you at that time. That is why our church today, we keep stressing, we're going to be a church that's going to be authentic. We're going to be real. Our story is never about the people in this church. It's not about how good we are, what great things we have done. It is about how good our God is. And I know relationships can be work. And I know some people are very needy. And I know that some of us need to form boundaries around of us to keep us healthy. And we can't help people who really don't want to change. And I know all that's true. It's basically the old line, I know the church can be a wonderful place if it wasn't for all the people, right? You've heard that line. That even with all these things pushing us to withdraw, we still crave belonging. Let me tell you a true story about a family named the Lopers. Kind of sounds like a fake name, but it's a real name. The Lopers, who moved to a new town. They had a hard time connecting with anyone, and it was just a real lonely time in their life. And the only mail they got was junk mail. And to make it worse, it was made out, they misprinted the last name, and it was made out to the Leper family. It was a season of feeling like lepers for them, literally. We can all feel like that or have entertained thoughts like that once in a while where we feel like we're lepers. But be careful, my friends. Because when we choose to isolate ourselves, that is the dangerous place to be. Our enemy's favorite tactic is to isolate us from community, to pick us off one by one. So let me make a few things clear today. Number one, loneliness is universal, but it isn't a sin. See, Adam was in the garden with his animals and doing life, but God said, you know, it wasn't good quite yet. I mean, it's funny, it's interesting because the story goes, before the fall, you know, before they'd sinned, and God had made everything and pronounced it all good, and yet there was something that wasn't quite right. And God said, it's not good that man's alone. So even though he said it was all good, there's still something that wasn't right. So God created Eve. And seeing Eve, Adam cried out, at last! But the woman cried out after seeing Adam, is this the best you can do? Oh, maybe that's just my translation in my Bible. But sin entered in, and at that point, loneliness became a little bit more of who we are. Became more amplified, more corrupted. And since then, we've all struggled with to some degree of that. But it can be really, we can really gain ground in it. We can overcome so much of it. It won't be perfectly achieved in this lifetime, but it can be basically overcome. Number two, God understands our loneliness. Jody talked about some of these scriptures today, but I'm going to read them, some of them to you, and do a little bit more too. The first one, Matthew 21, 9 through 11, said this. The crowds went ahead of him, and those who followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? And the crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth, in Galilee. And his people were there for him, shouting his name, proclaiming Messiah. But then Matthew 27 happens. And the governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified," they asked. "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." His people turned, but that wasn't the end. Disciples did something horrible too. Matthew 26, 43 through 46, he says, "When he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.'" His people who once shouted Hosanna said, "Crucify him." His disciples who basically said, "I'll follow you anywhere," fell asleep on him during his hour of need. And one of them was about to betray him. And if that wasn't enough, if that wasn't enough that any human should have to endure, he says this while hanging on the cross. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" At that moment, even God was not there, so that Jesus would truly, truly experience being alone. Luckily, we can take heart. Third thing we need to understand is we are never, ever alone. We are never in that situation. Sometimes you don't feel God's presence. Sometimes you don't see a big sign from God. But we are never alone. Matthew 18, 24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Jesus. He isn't only sympathetic to your loneliness. He specializes in helping lonely souls. He's been there. He knows what it's like to feel alone. But we can take heart. Number four, God grows us in our loneliness. A.W. Tozer is one of the most well-known pastors and writers, and he said this, "Most of the world's great souls have been lonely." Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that encouraging? There can be a correlation many times between loneliness and developing your soul. That really encourages me and lets me know it's not all for naught when I'm alone. Loneliness teaches us that we need God. Yeah, we are still made for people, to do life with people. But at our core, our biggest longing, our biggest loneliness comes because we need God in our lives. That's the biggest way that we become lonely is because we don't sense God with us. Yes, it's people too. We need to do life with people. Psalms 27 talks about how our mothers and fathers can forsake us. Even the people closest to you can forsake you, but God will always take you in. The Lord desires to take you into his house. Always. And he will grow you in that day. In that day of despair. In that day of crying out. You can be formed into his image. Number five, we can move from being lonely to helping the lonely. My friends, there's no greater thing and helping somebody else cope with their aloneness, their loneliness. I had an opportunity to do that this week with the challenge that I gave you a month ago with those simple little dish towels, and I was feeling a little bit down, not maybe sad, but a little bit down, and about roses to wrap them in. I went to the school, and I don't know about anybody else that seemed to be a hit with a few people that I gave them to, but I sure came home feeling good. Wow. I overcame my own aloneness by reaching out and touching other people's lives. Isn't that so cool that we can do that? You helped them and you helped yourself. Let me give you a concrete example, kind of a funny example of a way that I think God calls many of us to do life with people so they don't feel so alone. So besides the people living in your house, how many people do you know that have refrigerator rights in your home? You know what I mean by that? Refrigerator rights. That means they can come into your home and you don't have, they don't have to ask and you don't have to tell them. They just walk right up to your refrigerator and take what they want. I want a snack. Isn't that cool that you can do life with people that way? If you've ever watched the old TV show, old show, 90s show, Seinfeld, his neighbors, right? His friends, that's what they did all the time. I think Kramer ate more of his food than he did, right? And if you're single people like they were, I mean, you really, really got to try hard for community. But being, number six, being alone can be a gift. And Joni Erickson Tada sings this beautiful song, another one you can YouTube later, called Alone, Not Yet Not Alone. Here are a couple lines. Alone, yet not alone, not forsaken when on my own. I can lean upon his arm and be lifted up from harm. If I stumble or if I'm thrown, I'm alone, yet not alone. So if you hear me talking out of both sides of my mouth today, it's because I am. Being alone has been the hardest thing in my life in many ways and the greatest gift at the same time. It's a great paradox. I was single until I was into my late 30s. I wasn't very good at reaching out for companionship. I didn't date a lot. I was hanging out with teenagers as my job with as a youth work pastor. And I was alone. And now, don't get me wrong, I had a great life for many years doing a lot of those crazy things with kids, but I did eventually get really lonely. And I would spend some holidays alone, and I would see, part of my problem is I tend to overthink things a little bit. I tend to be too analytical. And when you're alone and you have by yourself and you don't have a billion things to do, you tend to really overthink. And I don't know how many times in my aloneness, in my loneliness, I cried out to God, please, not again. Not again. I just can't take being alone anymore. On the other hand, oh, I've had so many moments that I would not have dared to take the risk of them going away if I wouldn't have been alone. There have been moments where God showed up, not all the time in dramatic ways, of course, but there was a times here and there where the Spirit seemed to make the room a little bit more holy, like I was on holy ground. That God seemed a little bit more real, a little more tangible. Sometimes those moments are fleeting and they don't last real long, but getting a sense of God being there with me. Even, I know he's always there, whether you feel it or not, but there were moments where I actually felt it. And those were powerful for me. I have found much help in my time of being alone. I found a way to relate to God by just shutting everything off and being still and forcing myself, either because I was forced to be that way because I was so alone, or because I somewhat chose to shut everything else off and be still before God. It's powerful. Being alone can be a powerful moment when you need to spend time with God. It can be a growing experience in your life. Because some of the great souls have been lonely souls. But be careful. We're not meant to do too much of life alone. So you must understand that moving forward. You must understand you can't stay by yourself too much. And you could also be one of those people that have six people in your house living with you, and you could still feel alone because you need someone to hear you. You see, need someone to cry with you and laugh with you. And sometimes people are running all these different directions in their home, and the husband doesn't listen to the wife, and the wife doesn't just, you know, and the husband does his own thing, and they just don't ever communicate. It's not just for lonely people like Eleanor Rigby. And my friends, as the worship team comes forward, I'm going to wrap up here. The church is a place where you should never have to feel alone. Now, I imagine it can happen on occasion, but no one ever has to do life alone when you're part of the church. And it doesn't mean the building. It means the people, right? I don't know where all the lonely people come from, but I do know where they all belong. God is inviting each and every one of us to be known and to know Him, and to some degree, each other. Maybe deeper than you're comfortable with right now, or at least with a few people. Do life with somebody. Because we have been cast into this society and this world that's broken, that makes us automatically feel alone. God is inviting you to His house. And not only that, He says, come in, open up that refrigerator, take what you need. Take what you need. It's here for you. It's here for you. Almighty God, we ask that You'd be with us this week and guide us. Be in community with You and with each other. Help us not to feel so alone. Amen. Next week, what does God say when He says, let it be, let it be.